Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Ganesha Ecosphere Limited 3Q FY23 earnings conference call hosted by Antique Stock Broking. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Manish Mahawar from Antique Stock Broking. Thank you, and over to you, Mr. Mahawar.
Thank you, Tanvi. On behalf of Antique Stock Broking, I would like to welcome all the participants on the call of Ganesha Ecosphere. Today we have Mr. Yash Sharma, Director, Ganesha Ecopet, Mr. Gopal Agarwal, CFO, and Mr. Prashant Khandelwal, Senior Vice President from the management. Now, I would like to hand over the call to Mr. Agarwal for opening remark, post which we will open the floor for Q&A. Thank you, and over to you, Mr. Agarwal.
Yeah. Thank you, Manish and Antique Stock Broking for hosting us. Thanks to all the participants for taking the time to join us today. On behalf of Ganesha Ecosphere, I extend a warm welcome to all of you at the company's Q3 earnings conference call. I hope all of you might have had a chance to look into our quarterly numbers and investor presentation uploaded on the exchanges. The global macroeconomic environment has largely been unchanged during the quarter in comparison to second quarter. Uncertainties and fear of recession is not so strong. Commodity prices, particularly crude and gas prices, are softening, and inflation has also started to soften. However, things have not been improved for textile sector, which is looming under lower demand, falling prices, and pileup of inventory. As our major revenue is coming from yarn spinning sector, we also faced some hit in the form of increase in inventory due to slower offtake and falling prices. Though we could achieve better margins and higher profitability due to higher production level achieved during the quarter. On a standalone basis, during December quarter of FY23, company achieved production volume of 29,904 metric ton, which is highest during last six quarters. Production level was 27,469 metric ton during corresponding last quarter. Revenue from operations was rupees 270.72 crore during Q3 FY23 versus rupees 288.25 crore during Q3 of FY22. Turnover was lower because of decrease in sales volume as well as drop in average realizations by about 4%. Contribution of fiber and yarn is 85% and 15% respectively in sales numbers. In geography terms, we made an export sale of rupees 30 crore during Q3 as against rupees 34.45 crore during corresponding last quarter due to slowdown in the global market. During the quarter, we earned EBITDA of rupees 34.19 crore, which grew by 3.6% on a quarter-on-quarter basis and 7.6% on year-on-year basis on the back of higher production numbers. In terms of per ton EBITDA, it was almost flat at rupees 11,433 in comparison to year-on-year number of 11,423, and slightly lower in comparison to quarter-on-quarter number of 11,810 per ton. PAT during the quarter at 20.93 crore is higher by 4.686% on quarter-on-quarter basis and 14.54% on year-on-year basis. On year-to-date basis, numbers are pretty good, and we achieved revenue of 877.81 crore with production of 85,499 metric ton in comparison to corresponding numbers of 734.97 crore and 82,853 metric ton respectively. EBITDA is also higher by 12.2% at rupees 94.6 crore as against rupees 84.3 crore during 9 months of FY22. PAT is at rupees 56.18 crore as against the corresponding number of rupees 49.73 crore, excluding extraordinary item during the 9 months FY22. Now I hand over the call to Mr. Yash for his comments on the operations of the company.
Thanks, Gopal, and I extend my warm welcome to all the participants. On operation side, this quarter was better when we achieved higher production amidst the slowdown in demand. In short term, though, the demand from consumer industry is sluggish and prices have also impacted, but in long term, we have a larger picture before us and see an upturn in the industry due to improving global economic environment and increase in confidence. For the recycled industry, we see an encouraging scenario due to increasing awareness and realizing the need of circular economy from the society, from corporates, as well as from regulatory organizations. As an example, just yesterday, our Honorable Prime Minister, Mr. Narendra Kumar Modi, was present in the parliament wearing a jacket made from used PET bottles. And IOCL has announced their unbottled project for use of PET bottles in the uniforms for all of its employees throughout the country. These moves symbolize and state the need of circular economy and recycling. Two out of three of our subsidiaries have become operational during the current month, and we are hopeful in ramping up the capacity by end of March. So these units will start contributing to the top line and bottom line from Q1 FY24. We are in the process of starting the commercial operations in Ganesha EcoPet, most likely by the end of current financial year. This will add further growth to the company and its performance starting next financial year. This is all from our side, and we thank all of you for your kind attention. We will be happy to take any questions which you may have.
Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use only handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, you may enter star and one to ask a question. We will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. First question is from the line of Gunjan Gabra from Niveshaay. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. So my first question is with respect to food grade bottle-to-bottle chips. So there are too many players coming up with capacities and also getting Starlinger machine, which I believe this was a differentiator for us. So when we interact with Starlinger people, they have so many orders from India is what they also guided. So I wanted to understand, how are you seeing this competition and going forward, and can this also become more like a commoditized product and reduced margins, which we think are pretty high currently?
Yeah. Thanks, Kunjan. As there is a big opportunity going to be opened up in the sector post 2024 because of the regulations. So certainly there will be more than one player in the sector. We are not looking for the entire opportunity size, the entire possibility size, in fact. So other players will also be there. We are not doing exactly the players who are coming into the, but we are confident that we would be having the significant stake in this sector.
Adding on to this point, I would also like to state that, the Starlinger machine is not just what helps you achieve, high quality, good food grade RPET production. The heart of this process lies in the washing quality and the decontamination efficiency of, the unstandardized waste that is coming in. And since we have 30 years of legacy in understanding and handling how to derive the most out of and the best out of the Indian PET waste, we are sure that the capabilities and the superiority of qualities that we possess will not be, everyone will not be capable of achieving that. Is what we are very, concerned about. Yeah.
Okay. So now talking, will the new players, when they come in, can that, we are targeting EBITDA margins of around 25-30% for this product. So can that margin reduce when so many players come, or because we have a technical expertise, the margins will continue to be on premium side?
Yeah, we are confident in achieving the EBITDA margins. We are expecting it, though the actual margins will come after the start of the production, but we are quite confident in achieving because of the quality and the product we are having, which is the best in class.
Okay.
And also adding on to this, you know, the expected demand that is coming up, you know, is currently for the next 7 years, there is a significant gap in the demand and supply numbers according to the current capacities also coming up. The current expected demand is running almost, you know, 2 to 2.5 times of what the current supplies are for the next 5 to 7 years.
Okay. Sir, also in the presentation, we mentioned that there are some global brands doing auditing is in progress. So, is there any update on that?
So, actually, when you are working with the big brands and big corporates, so there is a procedure in which they make, apart from the technical technical strength and technical properties, they also look for the social audits and everything. And they conduct the social audit to the organization impaneled by them. So that is a part of the process for onboarding with the big brands.
Sir, is there any timeline where we can expect or will it take some more time?
Yeah, we are expecting to start to commercialize the operations of that cheese plant in by the end of this quarter.
Okay.
Yeah, we are pretty hopeful to start the operation by end of this quarter.
Okay. And also, sir, from the textile perspective, how should we evaluate competition in this case also? Because, for instance, you know, all the global players like Indorama or Far Eastern, Japan, Taiwan and the Mexico company, they are almost doubling their capacity, which definitely shows that recycling trend is very, very high. But you know, for these companies, the major revenue it comes from the man-made fibers, and they have made it. This revenue contribution is pretty small, but then size is pretty big. So can we expect, like, you know, IOCL is also doing a 100 million pet thing. So can we expect some for the sake of ESG compliance also for similar kind of a structure, you know, to be built up in India also going forward? Maybe the margins for them would not be as high as that we do, but maybe the supply can increase from that perspective, I wanted to understand.
So in this sense, you know, I would like to tell you that these big organizations, they are always going to enter into the end products using recycled materials. Like, for example, even IOC, if we talk about, they have this project in which they want to, you know, get the uniforms for their employees. So this is something, if you talk about Far Eastern, let's say, so what Far Eastern is doing is they are procuring the raw materials, which is, you know, which is the rPET granules that players like us will be manufacturing, and they will be using that as an input for them to produce, textiles and further integrations into those products. So big companies, you know, like these, they're definitely gonna, you know, start using recycled materials. But the heart of recycling lies at the waste recycling step, and which is converting the PET bottle waste into flakes and into granules, which becomes then the raw material. And that is something which you know, you need a very robust supply chain network and distributors, partners and the technical prowess, which only a couple of handful of firms, companies like Ganesha would be possessing.
Okay. So also, I wanted to understand how is the global bottle-to-bottle chip recycling scenario, because in Europe, for instance, the waste segregation is very inefficient. So are they able to do it, are they able to have like good margins and cash flows, or is it that we have a very good opportunity to export to these nations also?
In fact, Europe collection rate is increased. Europe is also, in some of the countries of Europe, the regulation has made it free for the use of certain percentage of the rPET into the with the virgin one. Because of the Ukraine war and something, that the Europe was somewhat sluggish in implementing the regulations, but now they have started it again, and within next 1 year or so, there will be a very hard regulations going to be implemented in Europe.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. I would request you to please come back in the queue. Participants, if you have any questions, please enter star and one. The next question is from the line of Janish Karia from Antique Stock Broking. Please go ahead.
Yes, thank you for the opportunity and congratulations on commercialization of the Nepal and South India plant. The first question is with regard to if you can help the EBITDA margin for the trading and yarn business separately for the quarter.
You want to know the margins of the yarn business?
Right? Yes, trading and the yarn business.
The consolidated level on our existing business, the margins are about 12%, out of which for spun yarn we are having the EBITDA margins of about 15 to 16%. But though the quantity is very small, it is not even 10% of the total production quantity, so the impact is not much. The rest of the EBITDA is coming from the PSF business.
So next question is with regards to Nepal plant. So earlier before commercialization, we were evaluating whether we cater to the export market or use it captively. So since now we have commercialized, any view on that, how the realization would look like, the customer profile, anything on that front?
Yeah, in Nepal we are making the flex, that is out of the PET bottles, and the flex is being transported 100% over North Indian plants. So we are not selling it outside, but we are using it captively.
So in that case, how much of the cost savings will it be beneficial in terms of cost? Because for North India, we are sourcing from the North Indian and sourcing from Pan India. So now we will be importing from Nepal. So how different will be the cost structure in North India?
Yes, the PET bottles is cheaper in Nepal. So that will be a cost advantage we would be getting in importing the Petflex from Nepal over North Indian plant.
So if you can provide a number with regards to percentage of cost saving, any number.
Jinesh, your voice is not clear, it is cracking.
So is it better now?
Yeah.
So if you can just help with any number in percentage terms, how much of cost saving can happen from that?
The cost saving would be around 12 to 15% from the material procured from Nepal.
And that's helpful, sir. And just one last question. Since we have commercialized part of the plant in South and Nepal, full plant, how much of the depreciation and interest cost will flow through the P&L because of that for the quarter?
Yeah, so for the Nepal plant, we are, interest and depreciation concern for the Nepal plant, it would be around 5 crore annual on annual basis. And for the Ganesha Ecotech, which we have commercialized, depreciation of interest is about 15 to 20 crore
on annual basis.
Okay,
and 15 to 20 crores is for part of the capacity that we have commercialized, and for the rest of it will be even higher per full year.
Yes.
Okay, I'll join the question queue for more questions. Thank you so much and all the best.
Thank you. Participants, if you wish to ask any questions, please enter star and one. The next question is from the line of Harsh Jawar from Centrum PMS. Please go ahead.
Hi sir, thank you for the opportunity. So my question was regarding the bottle-to-bottle capacity. So sir, how are we thinking in terms of selling? Will we look to sell only to MNC international customers who are auditing our plant, or from Q1 onwards we'll also sell the balance capacity in the domestic markets?
So we are tying up with the brands, and it may be both for the domestic as well as export market.
Okay, okay. And sir, as you have said that, you know, the opportunity is huge and there will be huge gap in demand and supply for next 5 to 7 years. So sir, what are our plans over next 3 to 5 years in bottle to bottle per se? Are we planning any new capacity after Warangal?
Yeah, of course, given the size of the opportunity, we would be expanding further in the bottle to bottle field. But of course, presently we are focusing only on the ramp up of tying up and ramp up the capacity which we are bringing. So when it starts, we will look for the extension projects.
Revenues from this bottle to bottle will start coming in from Q1 FY24, right?
We are expecting from Q1. Yes, we are expecting to start by Q4. By end of Q4, and the result will come from the Q1 FY24.
Okay, sir. And so my last question was regarding the so we were planning a small pilot plant of rigid plastic at our Kanpur facility, and then planning to scale it up. So, sir, what is status there? And
Yes. So basically, we do have this pilot plant, you know, established at Kanpur, where we are doing some R&D and trials in these other plastics, HDPE and PP recycling. But there are some issues that we're currently facing in the terms of supply chain ramping up and in terms of product development, which can go into higher end use applications. So, you know, there is quite a lot of R&D and trials to be done there on that side. But definitely, you know, we are still working on that and trying to figure out also along with technology suppliers on how we can deliver a good quality product out of that, and, you know, overcome the challenges that are currently there in the existing plastic waste.
Moreover, our core strength is in PET, and so we are looking for the PET business where the opportunity size is also big, and we are having our core strength in that sector. So we are much more focused on the PET business, and therefore the other plastic recycling is in on the back burner as of now for us.
Okay, okay. Understood, sir. So thanks for the opportunity.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, you may enter star and one on your touchtone telephone. The next question is from the line of Janish Karia from Antique Stock Broking. Please go ahead.
Yes, thank you so much for the follow-up opportunity. So my question is with regards to competition in the bottle-to-bottle segment. So there are some capacities which have come up in South India. Varun Beverages have also announced a joint venture with Indorama Ventures. So how do you see the raw material trend? Firstly, what is the capacity of the competitors, the raw material trend, and how do you see the market shaping up in India, and Ganesha's position as a exporter of bottle to bottles initially, and then catering to the Indian market?
You see, the demand of PET is increasing, actually. You see, because of the technical properties, the PET is a superior product, is the best product in all of the polymers because of its recyclability in number of times. Other polymers are not suitable for recycling in number of times. They have 2-3 cycles and like that. So the application of PET is increasing, and so the because of the regulations, because of the circular economy, the PET is the most suitable, and therefore the demand of PET is increasing, and so the availability of raw material is also increasing. So we don't see any bottleneck in availability of raw material going forward. Yeah, and as regards the opportunity size and looking to the Ganesha's overall situation in the market, We are the prominent player in the PET recycling segment as of now, and we will remain the significant player in that segment also.
Understood. Sir, any sense on what capacity the competition is putting, and we are primarily present in South India. To cater to any bottler within India, we need to have presence pan-India. Any sense on that, how we are planning to expand pan-India capacity over the next 2 years?
Yes. Basically, you know, we are working with a lot of and talking, discussing with a lot of bottlers. There are definitely small capacities which are coming up here and there, but we don't see, you know, any major capacities or, you know, plan projects coming up. For example, instance, you mentioned about Indonesia, Indorama Indonesia and Varun Beverages. Even their capacity is not planned as of today. The project is currently quite a lot delayed. As of today, as far as the market intelligence that we have, we are the largest in the bottle-to-bottle capacity, and we are, you know, planning and ramping up also in the same way to be able to grab the maximum market share possible in this field as well. Definitely we will, you know, try to develop ramp pan-India capacities along with our bottling partners, brand partners, as their demands grow and as we grow along with them.
Sure, that's helpful. One more question with regards to price trends. You mentioned in the fiber and yarn business, we are seeing some real pressure on realization. How is it shaping for the fourth quarter, and how do you see it going for FY 2024?
Yeah, certainly the textile sector, particularly the spinning sector, is in demand recession at present, and the inventory piling up is there in the sector. That's why demand is sluggish and the prices also come down. So in the fourth quarter, the prices are, yes, they are down. But going forward, we see when the things are going to be more certain and the uncertainty is going out of from the international market, demand will pick up from the Q1 2024, and we see the prices will also start to look up. Next question.
Yeah, sure. Thank you so much for your answer. All the best.
Thank you. Participants, if you wish to ask any questions, please enter star and one. The next question is from the line of Arvind Kothari from Niveshaay. Please go ahead.
Thank you so much for the opportunity, Gopalji and Yash. I just wanted to ask that, in terms of the criticality of the washing line that you were alluding to, how difficult is it to crack? And for example, the experience that we have for so many years, are there other players which can able to solve that fast, or you believe it will take a lot of time for people to have the washing line which can cater to the bottle-to-bottle food grade chips easily?
Basically, for this, you have to go little into the technical details of the specifications required for bottle-to-bottle grade chips, because it is a product which is going to be used in food packaging. There is a lot of strict adherence has to be taken up while deciding the specification. There is a technologies. You see, earlier also some questions came about the Starlinger technology, which is available for everybody. But you see, Starlinger also specifies that this set of parameter would be required for their machines to make a food grade bottle-to-bottle recycled chips. So they give you a strict parameters. You have to fall in the parameters. You have to be in a position to bring the wash flakes below these specifications, allowed impurities inside the material. Then only you can get a good quality of food grade rPET chips. Basically, if I elaborate it a little bit, we are working into recycling of bottle to fiber since last 30 years. In fibers, we used to, for common commodity fiber, we are allowing contaminants up to 600 to 700 ppm of impurities in the flakes.
For few good quality or specialty fiber, it is constant to use below 400 ppm. But when we are talking about a good food grade rPET chips, you have to control it well below 50 ppm. So when we are talking about the impurities in the material which is post-consumer waste, and we have to bring down the impurities to the level of below than 50 ppm to control, then there is few technical things. You have to control the benzene level, you have to control the toluenes, phthalates, acetaldehyde. Mm-hmm. So you have to control all these chemical impurities in the final rPET pellets.
Right.
There are limitations from the regulations like EFSA, US FDA and FSSAI. But apart mm-hmm. from these regulatory barriers, the brand mm-hmm. owners are maintaining their own specifications. So brand owners are more stringent, say like Danone and Coke. They are following a level well below 50% of what these regulations are allowing. So mm-hmm. brand owners are more aggressive on this to control the quality of the rPET chips. They are not following what regulations are saying. They are saying that, okay, regulations are saying these levels, but we want the material with 50% of what regulations are asking.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
they are more stringent on this area because ultimately it is their brand value. So it is not that easy to everybody. So take a Starlinger machine and make the rPET pellets and supply to the brand owners. Okay, the market is very big. It is 1.2 million tons of PET being consumed last year in India, and a huge opportunity is there for rPET also, because it is going to be mandated in coming days, and the capacity required will also be very big. But we are confined to the high quality, highest quality possible from the available waste, available post-consumer PET bottles. So when you are ensuring the best quality, you are ensuring the supplies to the best brands. Of course, mm-hmm. your EBITDA and your margins would be far better than what others are going to do.
Mm-hmm. Perfect. Also, sir, I wanted to understand that how this market has behaved in Europe, because there this trend has come early. In India, it stays, needs to be seen how it emerges in the coming 2-3 years when the regulation hits us. In terms of how the prices of the recycled granules move with respect to the virgin, you can say, material. So have they been correlated, or you know, the premiums have been constant, or they've been fluctuating? If you can throw a color of how the recycled premiums have moved vis-a-vis virgin in markets which have a long history, maybe Europe or somewhere.
So basically, if you look at the ICIS price indexes for rPET, which is, you know, currently mm-hmm. the Europe major price index for rPET, you'll understand that the premiums of rPET in Europe with respect to virgin have moved from 30% to 80% in the past 2 years. So usually they stay at a 30 to 40% premium levels from virgin, and when the demand goes higher, it has also risen to 80% of from premium from virgin prices. So that's okay. How it has moved in the past 2 years for now.
Got it. Perfect. And the regulations over there are also maturing. So what is the export market, if you would have studied, like how are the volumes over there? And some people from maybe you know, Asia might be supplying. So how have the supplies from Asia moved, and what is, I mean, if it gives a color of the size of the opportunity of our exports, maybe if you could clarify that.
So basically, you know, what was happening in Europe was that the brands had started to consume rPET, you know, voluntarily. So the regulations were not existing for the past years. They are starting to kick in from this year, from 2023. You know, some countries have 10%
15%, some have 25% mandatory use of recycling. But what was happening is for the past 2 to 3 years, there was no regulation, but the brands were consuming it voluntarily. Now they were able to do that because you know, they had their own target, sustainability targets, and the economy was going good. But what happened last year was that in the past 6 to 8 months, since the economy went down, since the Russia-Ukraine war and the energy crisis happened, their voluntarily consumption came down drastically. Because of which, you know, the market size shrank in the past 6 to 8 months. Starting from 2023, starting this year, the regulations are kicking in, and there are penalties of 500 euros a ton to 800 euros a ton, depending on country, area, regulation. And everyone has to automatically start consuming, you know, regulatorily start consuming the rPET. So the market is starting to expand again aggressively.
Perfect, perfect. That is very helpful. On the textile side, I wanted to understand.
Sorry to interrupt.
Yeah, shall I come back in the queue?
Yes,
okay,
yes.
Thank you. Yeah, yeah. Okay, thank you.
The next question is from the line of Hemant Soni, individual investor. Please go ahead. Hemant Soni, your line has been unmuted.
Yeah. Thanks a lot for providing us the opportunity. Sir, we have the commencement of the Warangal and the Nepal project. So, sir, what kind of revenue can we expect? What kind of revenue growth, basically, we can expect in FY24?
From the Nepal, we are expecting a turnover of about 70 to 75 crore on annual basis. And from the Warangal project, which has been operational, we are looking for the turnover of about, basically it is two parts. There is the fiber and the wasp plant. Wasp plant, as of now, till our B2B plant or just plant is operational, it will be consumed captively. So basically it will not add to the turnover, but add to the bottom line. And the fiber turnover will be around 150 to 180 crore from that facility. And the total turnover from the Warangal project, we are looking in the range of 550 crore to 600 crore when operating on the full capacity.
Basically, sir, around 600 crores from Warangal and 75 to 80 crores from Nepal?
Yeah, 550 to 600 crore from Warangal and 70 to 75 crore from Nepal. So total 600 to, you can say 650 crore total.
Sir, are you seeing any demand slowdown due to a slowdown in the textile industry?
Yeah, the demand slowdown is there presently in the textile sector because of the international conditions where the export has been decreasing, some of the spinning units are operating at below capacity.
So, sir, we could have postponed our expansion projects then if there is demand slowdown.
No, our expansion is in the field of PET resin as well as in the field of PSF. We are not into the, we are not going to the spinning or something other. So we are going forward with our expansion, which is, we are in the last leg of our expansion. Some part has started and some part is going to be started by end of this quarter.
Okay. Sir, and what kind of capacity utilization currently we are in?
Sorry?
What kind of capacity utilization apart from the Warangal project and the Nepal project?
In our existing facility, we are the last quarter we already clocked 110% capacity utilization.
Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Soni. You can come back to the queue.
Okay.
We'll move to the next question from the line of Arvind Kothari from Niveshaay. Please go ahead.
Yes. Sir, I wanted to ask on the textile sector. For example, yesterday you highlighted that our PM itself was wearing a jacket which was made of PET bottles. So in terms of the spun yarn, filament yarn and the other yarns that will go into textile, what is the opportunity over there and the brand ties that we can do? How will that part also shape up, if you could elaborate?
Yeah, definitely. Arvind, basically, we have already been doing spun yarns. You know, we have some small, we have a small capacity of spun yarns already installed. But in filament yarns, we are also beginning, you know, our filament yarn, we are also beginning to build up our filament yarn capacity where the recycled filament yarn, you know, has a significant premium over virgin yarns, and that is because the technicality and the production of recycled filament yarns is very, very difficult and critical to achieve. And we are already underway on our developments with several brands, you know, for our filament yarns. Currently, since we have our, so filament yarns is a tier 2 scope for major brands, if you see, because after filament yarns comes the stage of fabric and then final garmenting. So the filament, as soon as we have our filament yarn capacities, we will be in the scope covering of major brands directly. Mm-hmm. But as of today, since we have granules, we are supplying to the suppliers who are, you know, manufacturing these yarns. And we are already, you know, have a good pipeline of good mm-hmm. suppliers and brands in place where we are discussing potential collaborations with them for recycled filament yarns.
Perfect. So that is visible also in a lot of, you can say, brands like Decathlon and all are highlighting that, you know, these jackets or these things are made from, you know, the recycled pet chips. But my question is that will these players mandate their garmenters that they want to use Ganesha's products, or the garmenters themselves have an option that whatever player they want to choose, they can choose themselves?
No, basically, these are the mandates. Basically, as per the process, these brands give the mandates to more than one supplier. They are not dependent on one supplier only. So globally, they have a number of suppliers, and their OEMs are free to source from any of those suppliers. So depending upon the quality and the sizes and other things.
So, you know, basically the major competitive advantage, you know, that we are going to get, Arvind, with these brands is that we have the bottle to yarn deliverable facility now, you know, which offers these brands 100% transparency of the process and of where the waste and bottles is coming from. This is something which these brands, these major brands value a lot if you'll talk to them about this. And they, you know, and this is why they have been discussing with us and, you know, giving us preferential treatment currently as of today, because we have the capability of establishing a end-to-end transparency and traceability systems for them, which today, if we talk about, there will be no player you will find with that capability in India.
Yeah, that's what I was, you know, wanting to allude to, is that is the seriousness amongst brands in terms of traceability emerging? Because there have been instances where, you know, maybe the garmenter is more, you know, focused towards reducing the cost. And in that process, will he maybe use materials which may be substandard, but just gives him a tag of being a recycled, you can say, fiber? Or they will be looking for chips which are actually qualitative and have the traceability in the end?
Correct, yes, definitely, you are right.
You are very correct that there will always be a market for both types of buyers. One side, there will be buyers who are willing to buy a cheap product irrespective of the end-to-end traceability of the material coming from. But yes, this is going to be a very small percentage of buyers who are doing these wrong practices. But
gimmicks,
for brands, their goodwill, their brand value is very important. So they have never compromised. In our past experience also, in last 25 years, we are dealing with different brands like Target, Bergman, and Trident, and all those top brands. They always maintain end-to-end encryption of the material availability. Even now, there are few more products emerging with a high premium, like Ocean One Plastic, OBP. So now Ganesha is also doing this OBP. We are OBP certified for supplying our fiber and filament
from ocean-borne plastic also. So yes, there will always be two level of markets, one where the cost is important and the second one where the end-to-end encryption of the material is more important as compared to the premiums. So there are of course we are looking to the that band of the market where we are going to get a good premium for maintaining all these high-end clarifications or transparency.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Manish Mahawar from Antique Stock Broking. Please go ahead.
Yeah, so I just some bookkeeping questions on a company. One, in terms of for the quarter, your other income has been higher on a QOQ basis. If I look at what was the reason for the higher other income?
Sorry, Manish, I could not get.
Your other income actually for the quarter.
Yeah.
Is higher in a 3Q. So is any specific reason for the same?
Other income in comparison to corresponding last quarter, you are asking?
Yeah.
Yeah. So there is some interest income and some income on the investments.
Okay. And what is the right now RBSF realization if I look at on a 3Q average and current price?
For RPSF realizations for the December quarter was about 89 rupees.
89. And what was the price right now?
It is around that those levels, 88, 89.
Okay, that's stable actually since post the quarter.
Yeah, but as you look at from the September quarter, it is down. In okay. September quarter, it was about 95, so it come down to 89.
Okay, understood. And in terms of CapEx perspective, which is Warangal one is a 450 odd crores. So how, I think so we will capitalize the amount in the third quarter, fourth quarter, right? In the March quarter, correct?
Yeah, it will be from project to project. So for Ganesha Ecotech, it has been capitalized from 1st of February. The construction started, so all the CapEx has been capitalized. And now onwards, everything will come in revenue side.
Okay. No, but sir, how much amount will come in this year and basically in the gross block and how much will come to the next year? Can it possible to share that number? Because bottle to bottle will come by March.
So basically, we are looking for the commercializing the operations of EcoPet also by the end of this quarter. So if that happens, so everything will be capitalized by the end of this year.
Okay, but out of this 450 crores, what was the amount, maybe possibly bottle to bottle, what will be the capex for a bottle to bottle?
Actually, it is a combined project for three activities altogether. So it is for the filament yarn, for the PSF and for the PPPSF, it's the washing line, it is the...
The utilities all are common here.
Common, yeah.
Most of the infrastructure is also common, so it is quite difficult to identify. You can have a direct equipment which is attributed to a particular product only, but yes, of course, there is a big cost of utilities like effluent treatment, boilers and all those utilities which are common for all the facilities.
So basically, large part of your depreciation and interest cost will come from the fourth quarter onwards, right? Because first of February is a commercialization date.
Yeah. So it will come from the first quarter. So only the depreciation for the EcoTech is concerned. It will come from this quarter, and for the entire plant it will come from the next quarter.
Next quarter onwards. And what is the right now debt amount gross and the net in the balance sheet in the 31st December?
So for 31st December, we are having a total debt about 475 crore, including the existing business of Ganesha Ecosphere.
It's a gross amount, right? This is a gross amount.
Yeah, it is a gross amount.
And what is the net one?
So on net basis, if we invest the investments we are having with us, it is around 60 crores. So it is roughly 417 crores on net basis.
Okay, net basis. Okay, understood. And how much amount it will basically what by the by March and what will the amount you expect in terms of
peak? At peak level we are expecting it would be around 550 crore on gross basis.
Okay, the incremental roughly 75 odd crores will come by
yes.
in this quarter
yes.
roughly.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And last one, in terms of government incentives, once the plant will commercialize, right, and will start from maybe 1st of April, I assume, all the lines, how do you recognize in the accounts government incentives? Is it on a cash basis or accrual basis?
No, it will be on cash basis only because we are going to submit our claims with the government from this quarter on, but what we will account for assignment and there is certainty and visibility in getting the amount.
Okay, understood, sir. Sure, sir, that's from my side. Thank you.
Thank you. As there are no further questions, I would now like to hand the conference over to management for closing comments.
Yeah. We would like to thank you everyone for joining us on this call. I hope we have been able to address all your queries. And for further queries, if any, you may be connected to our team. We also thank to Mr. Manish for hosting this call. Have a good day. Thank you.
Thank you very much. On behalf of Antique Stock Broking, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us and you may now disconnect your lines.